The Torah describes the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night, that it should be lachatchila, the mitzvah b'shleimus should be fulfilled, derech sheilo tshuva b'sipa l'acherim, regarding mitzvahs halayla. So the Chumash says, ki shol chabin chomach aleimar, and we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, derech Talmud Torah. The Tanoim instituted, probably a din derabbanan, that you should recite Arami Avirovi, V'dorish kol ha'parasha kula, we should combine Torah Shebichtav with Torah Shebaalpeh. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. Perhaps that's why we recite a special Birchas HaTorah, Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shelos and Torah Lam Yisrael Baruch Hu, a special Birchas HaTorah, because we have to fulfill Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim in a specific form of Liman HaTorah, combining Torah Shebichtav with Torah Shebaalpeh. So how many of our children are we supposed to teach Torah to? So some have the attitude that you only teach Torah to the most brilliant. They have what they call yeshiva lam tzayorim. They only have yeshiva for the outstanding students. So Rav Soloveitchik used to point out, no, can I get up bottom dibra Torah? The Russia doesn't believe, so we're not allowed to teach him any Torah. The pasuk says in Tehillim, the Russia omer lakim, malach ol esapachukoi. If you're not observant, you don't plan to keep the mitzvahs, so you're not permitted to learn Torah. You need a heter, you need permission to learn Torah. So if one is a Rasha, the Rebbe Shalom doesn't give him permission. But we don't only teach Torah to the Chacham. We teach to the Chacham and to the Tam and the Sheni of the Elisham. We feel that Talmud Torah is for everybody, for all of the children, not only for the Tam, for the Mitzuyon. And when the Chacham he asks an intelligent question, Mohedis Vachuk Vamishpatim, what are all of the mitzvahs? So we say, Afatam Olok, Ilchas HaPesach, Em Aftirnach HaPesach HaFikoyman. Why do we choose only to tell him that din? So some have the nusach in the Haggadah that it should say ad eim avtir nach haPesach avikam eim avtir nach haPesach avikam. One of the last mishnayos in the Masechta. That's not the very last. It's one of the last mishnayos. So you should teach the child Ocham from the beginning to the end. You teach him everything, even the dinim derabbanan eim avtir nach haPesach avikam. There's only a din derabbanan. Regarding the Russia, we don't teach him any Torah. And we say, Lefisha Husi Hatzatz Mamina Klal, Kofa Beikar. What does that mean? It's an interesting Loshan. He says, Mohaydis Vachuk Mashachiva Hashem Alakedu Eschem. Mohavad is Oslochem. He doesn't feel that he's part of Klal Yisrael. So one who doesn't feel he's part of Klal Yisrael, Lefisha Husi Hatzatz Mamina Klal, that itself is a form of Kfira Beikar. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael as a nation. And if a person doesn't want to relate to the Tzibur, so that's equivalent to Kfira B'Iker. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's because of his Haftocha, Baruch Shem HaHaftochos Al Yisrael Baruch Hu, because of the Ribbono Shel'Olam's Haftocha and because of his Shvua that we're still around, there is a concept of Zchus Avos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and Mele, let's say there was, I used to learn Mecharusa with someone, or I had when I first became a Rebbe many years ago, had somebody in my shir. Then, 25 years later, his son is in my shir. So I'm going to have a natural inclination to like that person, even if there's nothing to like about him, because of the schusos, because I liked his father. And then his grandson, I'm going to have a natural inclination to like the grandson. But how far does the schusa of us go? Because his great-great-great-great-grandfather was very friendly with me, or he founded the yeshiva. So therefore, the great-great-great-great-grandchild also deserves special attention. So the Gemara says in Masechus Shabbos, schusa of us only goes so far. In the schusa of us, truth of the matter, Gemara says, chavos tama. The schus of us was used up already. The schus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, it's already so many generations later, over 3,000 years later. But the bris of us, the Rabbi Natam says in Tosfos, that the bris of us loitam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris. A bris means a shvuah. And a bris and a shvuah, the Ramban Chumash Rice means al kol panim, under all circumstances, even if the great-great-grandchildren don't deserve it. So that's what we say. Baruch Shem HaHaftochos Al Yisrael Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a haftoch, he made a bris, he made a shvuah. V'hi shom dala v'sein v'alana. That bris and that haftoch, Loshen Nekeva, V'hi refers back to haftochosai. that haftocha and that bris and that shvuah is what keeps us going. The schus of is already evaporated, but the bris of is and the haftocha is what keeps us alive. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishev es haketz. He calculated when the end of the Golus Mitzrayim should be. What's so complicated about calculating the gates? So they say the name of the Medrash has the kasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu by the bris ben sorry yadoya teva ki ger yo zarach beretz lo lahem avodim inu oisam arba me'er shonam v'kam esalgev she'ebar adon adachim. So it's supposed to be Arba Me'er Shana. The Bnei Yisrael were only Mitzrayim for Ridu for 210 years. So what happened to the Nevuah? It's going to be Arba Me'er Shana. So the different Midrashim give different answers. So one Rashi and Chumash quotes one Medrash that the 400 years begin from Leidas Yitzchok, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu Ger Yizarecha Beretz Lo Elohem. So he didn't have any children until Yitzchok was born. When Yitzchok was born, so Eretz Yisrael was really Eretz Lo Elohem. Avraham Avinu had already made a kinyan on it illegally and didi mamnis and chashmish, but it belonged to him. But basically, it was Eretz Lahem. It wasn't under Jewish control; it was under the control of the Knanim. So the 400 years of Ger Yezarach of Eretz Lahem began from Leidas Yitzchak. But then there's another medrash that gives a different answer. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu said 400 years, and the Rolim Mitzrayim for 210 years. So the medrash gives an answer that the Mitzrayim made Bnei Yisrael work so hard. There was such a Koshi Hashibud, it was 400 years worth of work. So these seem to be two totally different answers. So they say the name of Abdelvala Salavechik that you need the both answers. Because by the Bris Ben Amsar, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that there's going to be Geria Zaracha Beretz Lalahem, 400 years. There's going to be 400 years worth of work. So the 400 years worth of work, it was much less. It was less than 210. They weren't Mishabodim from day number one. So the 400 years of work was made up because of the fact that it was such a koshi hashibud. And the 400 years of Ger Zerach Beretz Lalahem was fulfilled, that nevuah was fulfilled because of the fact we start counting from Leidas Yitzchak. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishev es haketz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu satu it, that they should both culminate at the same time. The 400 years starting from Leidas Yitzchak and the 400 years of koshi hashibud ended exactly, not exactly the same time, the last year, when all of the Esamakas were taking place. The Gemara says, Mishpat Rishoyim B'Gehenim, the maximum Rishoyim suffer in Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Gemara says that the Mishpat of the Mitzrim, the whole Esamakas took Yud Beis Chodesh. So starting from the beginning of the Yud Beis Chodesh, there already was no longer any Shibud. So the Koshi HaShibud was Mashlem, the 400 years, that ended the year before Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Arba Me'er Shana, to live in a foreign country that started from Leidas Yitzchak and that took 1 year longer. That's Chishev is HaKeitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated that everything should end at that time. The Koshi HaShibud should end a year before the Yitzias Mitzrayim, but they were both 400 years. Then we add on the Hisham de la Vesenu, that this Shvuah, this Bris, and this Haftocha is what keeps the Jewish people going, because the Schus Abbas already was Tama. And we add on that the reason why we're telling the story about Yitzias Mitzrayim and Golus Mitzrayim is because it's not an ancient story from thousands of years ago. It's a contemporary history. They want to kill all the Jews all over the world. And every generation they want to kill all the Jews all over the world. So this is the same old anti-Semitism that existed in the days of Paro. Then the Mishnah says that you should darshan Arami Avadavi. So we recite the whole parsha. The Mishnah sounds like you darshan the entire parsha from the beginning to the end. We don't do that. We only say the first few psukim. We don't say Vayivien Olamakam Zavitalon Asaras Azor Tzavas Hatzchol Avadavash. We don't say that. So it could be, Rav Soloveitchik suggests, it could be that Bizman HaMikdash they did say that. Could be. Now, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, so many Jews were sent into Golus, so it doesn't make sense to say Vayivienu al hamakom hazeh talon haaretz hazos. But perhaps Bizman HaBayis they did, maybe not. He said he's not sure. You have to try to find records from Bizman HaBayis, whether they said whether they were really Dorish Kol HaParsha Kula or not. So Dorish Kol HaParsha Kula, we give the commentary, the running commentary of the Torah Shmalpe, Arami Oyved Ovi. It's an interesting interpretation how the Torah Shabbat interpret Harami, Lovin Harami wanted Oyved Ovi, he wanted to destroy Yankov Avinu. It doesn't really say it in the Chumash. This is all a drasha of Torah Shebal Peh. This is all a tradition of Torah Shebal Peh. And the Ibn Ezra on the Pasuk, Arami Avirabi, says, Lefi Pshuta means a different shot. But this is how the Torah Shebal Peh has an additional level of interpretation. Bikish Lavon, Parla Gozer El Alaskarim, but Bikish Lavon Lakaris HaKol. That Lavon wanted to wipe out the whole Jewish people. So we darshan on each phrase of the Arami Avirabi, and we say, Vayerid ben Tzraim onos al pi adibur, that really Yaakov Avinu did not want to go to Mitzrayim. He wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, and that Iket Siruf of Klal Yisrael is really only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. We didn't mention yesterday, the Tosfos on Gimel Amud Beis says that those who live in Chutz Lartz are not mechuyev to go to Eretz Yisrael to bring Korban Pesach. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're mechuyev to go. On the bottom of the page on Gimel Amud Beis, they printed in brackets that the Mishlam Melech writes on the Tosfos, Dibra Tosfos, Mitchilosim Atzoifim, Tumui Miyod. He never heard of such a thing. Where does it say that whoever lives in Chutz Lartz, not mechuyev to bring Korban Pesach? The Gemara says on Daf Ches Amud Beis in Psochim, one who doesn't live in Eretz is not mechuyev to be oil a regal on Pesach Shavua Sukkos, but it doesn't say a word about Korban Pesach. Where did Tosfos get this idea from? So later Svarim, way after the Mishlam Melech, they say, based on a passage in Yerushalmi that even though Korban Pesach is a Korban Yochid, it's not a Korban Tzibur. Korban Tzibur is paid for by Machzah Shekel money. Korban Pesach is paid for by private funds. It's a Korban Yochid. But the Gemara says it has a status like a Korban Tzibur because it's Osi Bechnufya. It comes with big throngs of people. Thousands and millions of people are going to, each one is going to bring a Korban Pesach all together at the same time. And you have to have Pesach Nishchad B'sholosh Kitos, Shochtos, called Kahal, Adas, Yisrael. So the Gemara says Kahal means one group, Adas is another group, Yisrael is a third group. So the Mishnah has Pesach Nishchad B'sholosh Kitos. They used to have three shifts in the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody pushed in to be in the first shift. And then the second shift also. And then the third shift, there was hardly anybody there. Nobody wanted to be lazy to go in the third shift. But the Pesach was Nishchad B'sholosh Kitos. So even though Korban Pesach is a Korban Yochid, but the Gemara says since it's Osi Bechnufya, so many people come at the same time from all over, so we consider it like a Korban Tzibur. So the Yerushalmi has an idea, and the Rambam has it in a few places, that the Iked Tziruf of the Klal Yisrael is only applicable to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Lartz are Kiyichidim, even if you have the overwhelming majority of the world Jewish population lives in Chutz Lartz. They all have the status like Yechidim. And if you only have 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. That's the Rambam in a few places has like that. So that's what some latest Svarim write. That's the Kavanas HaTosfos. The reason why Misha Dor B'Chutz Lartz is not Mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach is a Korban HaTzibur, and the Ikad Tziruf HaTzibur only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a special inyan. There certainly is a chashivas to living in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu didn't want to go down to Mitzrayim, but the pasuk of Vayered Mitzrayim sounds like on his own. So the Torah Shebal Peh says wrong. Onos al pi adibur. He had no choice. He got a nevuah from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told him you must go raid Mitzrayim. He told him you have to go to Mitzrayim. He didn't want to go. Vayogasham. So he comment. Vayogam eloshin geres malam shaliyard lishtakei Hashem alalogasham. He only went temporarily. He didn't want to live in Chutz Lartz. In the Sefer Hasidim from Yudah Chosef from the Bali Atosis, he writes that you're not allowed to build a brick house in Chutz Lartz. We live in Chutz Lartz temporarily. There are some people, you go to Borough Park and Flatbush, they have mansions, unbelievable. They plan to live here another 1,000 years. So the Sefer Hasidim says you're not allowed to do that. You should, if you buy a house, is one thing, but you shouldn't build a house that's mamish kavua. When the Jews go to Chutz Lartz, they should have in mind shalayard lishtakei alalogasham, only to live there temporarily. That's what Rav Soloveitchik made a comment on the opening pasuk. Elish mas b'nei so haboyim Mitzrayim. What do you mean haboyim? The Chumash is written years later. What do you mean haboyim? Even years later, they felt like they were foreigners. They felt that they were greener. That they don't belong over here. They really belonged in Eretz Yisrael, and they just arrived. They just came. Vayi sham the goy becoming melam shayso mitzu yonim sham. What do you mean they were mitzu yonim? The Medrash says that they picked up all of the narish guide from the Mitzriim. Medrash says that when the Yamsuf was supposed to split, so the Sarah Shal Yam said to Rabban Shalom, why should I split? Halalo Abde Abedizor, Halalo Abde Abedizor. The Jews also worship Abedizor. I should wipe them all out. So Rabban Shalom answered, no, but the Jews worshipped Abedizor. They were pressured into it by the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim worshipped Abedizor out of their own free will, and the Jews were pressured into it. So the Jews were not really medaktik and mitzvahs. They were keeping the nationalistic mitzvah, Shaloshina Shmam Lashayna Malbusham. They maintained the nationalistic mitzvahs in Chutz Lartz. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, speaking Loshna Kodesh is not the most important mitzvah. When you live in Chutz Lartz, that's important. To be mitzuyonim, to stand out like a sore thumb. You should know not to assimilate with the Umas Olam. When you live in Chutz Lartz, so Pasakam and Bishalakam and Cholav and separating selves from the Nochem is very important. You live in Eretz Yisrael, that's not that important. There are certain mitzvahs. Avodah Zarah is more important than everything, but there's certain the nationalistic mitzvahs that the Meshech Chachman points out. The nationalistic mitzvahs are historically more important than if you live in Chutz Lartz. So the Shalashina Shmam Lashanim Albush, and that's Mitzuyanim. They stood out and they, but they were worshipping Avodah Zarah and they weren't keeping the mitzvahs at all. That's what the Torah Shebaal Peh has that comment. So the Pasha Pshat sounds like the Mitzrim were mean to us. So the Drush of the Torah Shebaal Peh interprets that it doesn't mean that. Vayareu Oisona doesn't say Vayareu Lona. Vayareu Oisona, they said that we are evil. So that's how the Balagoda Darshans, Vayareu Oisona doesn't say Vayareu Lona. Vayareu Oisona, they said that we are evil. They said that we were bad.
Back to the Mitzrim Pshat, Rabbi said that they weren't doing any of the mitzvot. What mitzvahs did they have?
They had a few mitzvahs. They had Bris Milah. They weren't fulfilling Bris Milah. It says that right before Yetzias Mitzrayim, everybody had to have national Bris Milah. They didn't have too many mitzvahs. You're right. Emunah, they didn't have too many mitzvahs. Yeah. Vanitzak al Hashem alakia v'seinu sounds like that we dive into our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Bala Gora quotes Kimoshin Emar, Vayibayamim Rabim Haim, Vayomas Melch Mitzrayim, Vayoncha Bnei Yisrael Meravoyda Vayizaku. They were moaning and groaning from the Koshi Hashib about Tal Shabbos Amelu Alekim Eno Avoyda. It doesn't say that they were praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bala Gora is interpreting, that's the Ramban Chumash says, that we never really daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his kindness, Berov Chasodov, accepted our moaning and groaning and krechtsing by Yoruchim and Yisrael Maravoyda Izaku as if we had daven, but really didn't daven. So that's what the Balagod is interpreting. This is all drushes. Drushes are interpretations on the pasuk. It's not lefit pshuto. Vayaris onyenu, what does that refer to? So it doesn't say what. So the Balagod of Darshan Zu preaches Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz means tashmish. They didn't let the husbands and the wives sleep together. So Vayaris Anyenu, why is it written in such an obscure fashion? Because Loshen Nekiya, Derech Eretz dictates, not like it. We live in a country, we live in an era that everything is explicit. And the Loshen Nekiya requires, you shouldn't say these kind of things explicitly. So just as Vayaris Anyenu, there was Inui, and that's a reference to Precious Derech Eretz, that the Mitzrayim didn't let them live together.
What about the Joshua about the mirror? The Joshua about the mirrors and things like that.
Yeah, but the Mitzrayim gave them a hard time. They had to run away from the Mitzrayim to be together. Tachas HaTapuach. But at home, the Mitzrayim gave them a hard time. They didn't let them be together. So we darshan all of the psukim. That's what the Maaseh Nisim Haggadah, he has much of this, all of what I just said. He points out that the drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh are not necessarily lefi pshuto shel mikra. These are all additional interpretations on the pasuk. That we mentioned is mentioned all the Esamakas. Then Balagoda has a machlegs of Blazer and Rabbi Akiva, but each maka had four parts, or each maka had five parts. How do you darshan the psukim? Yeah, what is the machlegs about the four parts or five parts? So the Avudram has a suggestion. He says that the Tanoim, following the Greek philosophers, thought that everything in the world is divided into four categories, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Ofer. And these are the four like we believe now that there are so many elements. So they felt that there are basically four elements, Eish Ruach Mayim Ofer. So the Tana Rav Lezer says, and then there was a quintessence, the fifth essence, that represents in Yonei Ruchnias. So Rav Lezer says that each one of the Esamakas was in violation of all of the Chukei HaTeva. Each Makas had Shal Arba Makas. Each one violated all the rules of Eish, of Ruach, of Mayim, and Ofer. Doesn't necessarily mean that we have to subscribe to the four elements, but it means, he says that each one of the Makas violated all the Chukei HaTeva. But they didn't violate Chukim of Lamayla Men HaTeva. Only Gashmiz Digger Chukim of Teva. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and he says, no, each Makah was Shal Chomish Makas, even had the quintessence. See, the quintessence is the element of Ruchnias. Each one of the Makas even violated that part of the Bria. Like we mentioned yesterday, the Ramban Chumash has Bereshis, Bar Lakim, Esa Shamayim, Esa Oretz. And then when it says about the creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the skies, and everything, that's all Oretz, nothing in Shamayim. Shamayim is not discussed. The Bria Shamayim is not discussed in Bereshis. Shamayim means Ruchnias and Oretz means Gashmias, and the Chumash continues to say about Oretz. So that's also this Machloikas. Rav Lezer says that each one of the Makas violated all the Chukei HaTeva of Gashmias, and Rabbi Akiva thinks that it even violated, there was such a thing as Chukei HaTeva of Ruchnias, that's the fifth, the quintessence, so it even violated that. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every step of the way, for everything that He does for us, even if it doesn't lead to the final result of everything. We have to say, Ilu Hatzianu Mimitzrayim Dayenu, Ilu Karolanu Saman Dayenu. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every step of the way. One of the lines in Dayenu is very famous, it's so strange. Ilu Kervonu Lefnei HaSinai, V'loi Nasalanu Asatora Dayenu. What would we have accomplished? What would have been accomplished if He would have been there at HaSinai and not received the Torah? The whole Maimon HaSinai was only had value, only had significance because there was Kabbalah HaTorah. There was no Kabbalah HaTorah. So what's the Maimon HaKeruvonu Lefnei HaSinai? So all the Haggadahs have interpretations on this, different interpretations. The Gemara says that when the Nochash convinced Chava to sin by eating from the Eitz Hadas, so the Nochash somehow succeeded in Hitol Bazuhamo. He succeeded in implanting Zuhama into the body of Chava, and this Zuhama was transmitted to all of her descendants. And then when Bnei Yisrael stood at HaSinai, there was such a shocking experience of greeting the Shechina, so the Paska Zuhamasim, the Zuhama Bnei Yisrael, went away. Then later it came back again when we worshipped the Eagle. But on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, even before Nasalana Satur, before Matan Torah, just the Gilui Shechina itself, was Paska Zomos. That's what some interpret. If the Kabbalah of Ne'asina would have accomplished, that would have been Paska Zomos even without Kabbalah Sater. Others interpret many different interpretations. Others say, no, what it means, Kabbalah of Ne'asina means Maimon HaSinai. But Nasan Lono was Sater, that Bnei Yisrael are the Balabatim to Paskin what the Halacha is, Lord Bashamayimi. We have the final say, whatever the Bezin Shal Yisrael Paskin, that's the Halacha. That was another, that's Dayenu. If he would have given us the Torah, Kevon of Nasinah means Matan Torah, but not Nasan Lanu. Even if he wouldn't given us the Torah, that we are the Balabatim for final Hachra, it would have also been Dayenu to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halachas Kama V'Kama. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the Kama Milas Tovus Lamokam Aleinu. You have to thank Him from everything.
Really, is that the same thing as Torah Shabbat, or not necessarily, that we have?
It's something more than Torah Shabbat Peh, that the final hachra is up to the Rabbanu, up to Bnei Yisrael. So something very surprising. That Loi Bashamayim Hi, once the Rabbanu Shalom gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, we have the Koyach HaHachra. The Mishnah has this Nusach, Rabbi Gamliel Lama, Kol Shalom Shlosh Advar Meda B'Pestach Lo Yotza Yidei Chai Vosoi. And there are two Pshotim in Lo Yotza Yidei Chai Vosoi. So the Rambam learns the Posh Pshat, you're not yotze the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim has to be fulfilled by explaining the mitzvah Salayla in the context of the Yitzias Mitzrayim. You shouldn't just say the history of Golas Mitzrayim, Shibud Mitzrayim, and Yitzias Mitzrayim. You should explain Pesach Shana Shoyu Abaseinu Ochlim, Matzazu Shana Ochlim, Borazer Shana Ochlim, Al Shumah. You have to tell Yitzias Mitzrayim in the form of explaining mitzvah salayla. So that's how the Rambam writes, Lo yotze derech havasa, he won't be yotze the mitzvah of sipi yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the poshut pshat. And then the Maharsha has a different pshat. Rav Soloveitchik was so surprised. Why did the Maharsha say such a pshat? Then he was surprised to find that the Ramban and the Machamas and Brachas also learns like that. Lo yotze derech havasa means he's not fully yotze the mitzvah of matzah, not fully yotze the mitzvah of morer. When one recites Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim and he says Pesach Zashanu Ochlim, when you lake tefillin, you don't have to say why you're putting on tefillin. When you do other mitzvahs, it's not necessary to say what the Tama mitzvah is, what the Kavanos HaMitzvah is supposed to be. But by Pesach Matzah Morer, Rabbi Gamliel says, you won't be fully yotze the mitzvah of Pesach of Matzah Morer unless you explain what the reason for the mitzvah is. The Tur in Hilchas Sukkah quotes that there was a machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes hatanaim, ki basukha so shafti is b'nei Yisrael. Is that a reference to Sukkos Mamish, or is that a reference to Anani HaKovet? So the Tur is machriya, that it means Anani HaKovet. So the Bachi asks, what do you mean machriya? Machriya means a shayla in halacha. This is not the Gila halacha, this is a shayla, how do you read the pshat and the chumash? But Lamaisa, the way we sit in Sukkah is not affected at all. So why does the Tur take a stand on an issue that's a machlekes in pshat and chumash? But there's nothing gear la'alocha. So the Bach comes up, the Bach in his commentary on the Tur comes up with this fantastic chiddush, that since the Pasuk says you should sit in Sukkah basukos teishvu, l'man yedah derasechem ki basukos hoshavti, so l'man yedah derasechem means that in this mitzvah you have to have kavanah for the tama mitzvah. Whenever the Chumash writes a mitzvah, it's very rare, but whenever the Chumash writes a mitzvah, it writes right away the tama mitzvah in conjunction with the mitzvah. So what it means is that the kavana having in mind for the tama mitzvah would be li'kuvim. So that's what the Torah has to take a stand. What kavana is one supposed to have when he sits in the sukkah? He's supposed to have in mind l'man yedah derasechem. Should look at the schach and reminisce about what? Reminisce about anani hakovet, or reminisce about sukkahs mamish. So here also that's what the Ramban seems to learn in Rabbi Gamliel. That the kol shalomish lo shalom meila b'pesach liyotze derechai vosa, you're not fully yotze the mitzvah of Pesach, you're not fully yotze the mitzvah of matzah, if you don't explain what the mitzvah is all about. Because here also they're psukim, that they're explaining the tama mitzvah is an integral part of the mitzvah.
I think
Rabbi
himself says it's only mitzvah.
Oh, really?
Okay.
So a lot of Achrayim picked up on this Bach, and they think that it makes sense on the level of their Eisa. B'chol dor v'archai v'orom liris esatz makilu hu yotzam in Mitzrayim, and then the next paragraph we say, l'fichach anachna chayovim lahalel. Because we have to have the sensation, we have to have the feeling as if we just left Mitzrayim. So one who experiences a gula has to express halal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah says in Tainus that every so often Bezna had to be goyis at Tainus because there was atziras gishomim, there wasn't enough rain, or there was no rain and not enough rain, and no vegetation is not going to grow, and the animals are going to die. You need rain for the vegetables, for the growth, for the animals, for the people to live. So every so often there would be goyis at Tainus. And Mishnah has, if there were goyis at Tainus and that it rains in the middle of the day, so everybody should gather together and say halal, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever you experience a geula, you sure it doesn't have to be a miracle, a ma'ala menatela. Whenever one experiences a geula, a yeshua, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving the geula. So that's what we say, chol dover d'archavar m'yosatz m'kilo yatz m'inzayim, l'fich anachna chayovim l'halel. We have to praise, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are different kinds of halal. There's halal b'shas ha'yeshua. Like over here, we have the feeling as if we just left Mitzrayim, so the Ficha Nachna Chayovim, the Halel, we have an obligation to recite Halal now. Then sometimes you have Halal Zeche LeGeula. Every year in Chanukah, we recite Halal because there was a Geula years ago. Nobody says that every Chanukah you have to have the feeling as if you just had the Geula Chanukah. This Chanukah, the Geula Chanukah occurred 2,000 years ago. Bizman HaBayis it occurred. But we recite Halal Zeche LeNes. It's not b'shas ha'nes, it's zechel ha'nes. The pashtus is a halal b'shas ha'nes is the raisa. That's learned out from the parsha of b'shalach. The Torah records that Bnei Yisrael recited Oz Yashir, implying that it was the proper thing to do. Whenever you experience a gula, Yeshua, the proper thing is to express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then halal zechel ha'nes, there was a Yeshua and Chanukah so many centuries ago. So that the Gemara in Brochus says, that's only Midrabban. Halal Chanukah is only Midrabban. And Halal Yontif, The fact that one recites Halan Yotav as an expression of Simchas Yontav, the Simchas Aguf, you eat possibly Yain, and then the Simchas HaNefesh, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halal An Yontav as an expression of Simchas Yontav, that's a machlokes HaRishonim, where the Halal An Yontav is the Raisa de Rabban. The Bahag includes, the Bahag is a Sefer HaMitzvah, so he includes reciting of Halal in the list of the mitzvahs asay. The Rambam takes issue with the Bahag. Why did he include Halal? What, he didn't realize Halal was only midrabanan? Why did he count Halal? So the Ramban, he comes to defend the Bahag in the Hasagas of Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He makes this suggestion that maybe the Bahag is of the opinion that Halal Yontif is the Raisa. It's a possibility. Halal Yontif is the Raisa. And it comes from the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, the Simchas Aguf and Simchas HaNefesh. What, to recite Hallel? Ramban, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ramban on Chumash and Parshas Emor, and he thinks that the Misadri HaTfilah, who composed the Nusach HaTfilah, and they put in the phrase Mikra Kodesh into the Shemone Esrei and into Kiddush, he thinks they must have thought like the Ramban, that the word Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage. We all gather together for holy purposes. What purposes? Talmud Torah Barabim, to have Tfilah Barabim, Tfilah B'tzibur. I don't know if it's necessarily for the purpose of Halal B'tzibur. Halal is certainly enhanced if you say B'tzibur as opposed to B'yochid. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rosh in Perek Avi Pesachim that if you have three people together on Leila Seder, they should say Halal like Chazan and the Tzibur, Ma'mira Vaniya. One should say, Hodel Hashem Kitav Kidam Chazda, the other should answer, Hodel Hashem Kitav Kidam Ona Hashem Hashiyano, they should answer Ona Hashem Hashiyano. It's surprising that the Rosh says if you have three people, it says even if you have men and women, if you have three adults, that they should say Halal like in the Beis HaKnesses. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, Lacher, one might have thought that it should constitute a Dovah Shebikdusha, you should require a Sora, you should require a Minyan, but the Rosh says not so, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Rosh. If you have three people eating together, three adults eating together by the Seder, they should make up that one of them is going to be like the Chazan Haseir Hashem Hashiyano, and the others will respond like in the Beis HaKnesses. So there is a Tosfos in Arvei Pesachim, a Tosfos quotes a Medrash. Medrash goes through all of Tanakh and says that the Tanakh speaks about 10 different Shiras, 9 L'sha'ovar, and one is going to be Lasid Lover. Every Shir L'sha'ovar is Loshin Shira. Loshen the Keva. And the Shir, Lasi Lava, that's Loshen Zacha, that's called the Shir. That's why we say, Miz Mishil, Yom HaShabbos, Miz Mishil, Lasi Lava, Yom Shigol HaShabbos, Menucha Lachai Hu Ailamim. How did the Tanoim know that they should make such a comment that this Perik and Tilim, Miz Mishil, Yom HaShabbos is a psalm for Lasi Lava? The answer is because it says Shir. It should have said Shira. All the Shir is Lusha Avar, Loshen the Keva. Why so? Why a difference in Loshen the Keva, Loshen Zachar? So the Medrash says, when a couple has a baby, so the wife Nebuch is in pain. They're so excited to have a new baby. So the wife is in pain. She has labor pains and the stitches and the delivery and everything is difficult. That's a teldi bottom. And the husband is very happy. He has no pain. He has no chevelin leida at all. So Shir Lashon Zohar is a reference to the Shir Lasi Lavai that ein achrei atzoris. The Shir Lasi Lava is that's going to be the end of all of history, and there won't be any Matzoris after that. So that's like Shir Lashon Zachar, that the father of the baby is celebrating, and there's no downside to him. There's no pain. But all the 9 Shiras in the past, Shiras Ayam, and Shiras Devaira, and all the different Shiras in Tanakh, the Yalkut Shemani lists off all the 9 Shiras that were Lusha Avar, and the Shir Lasi Lava. So all the 9 Lusha Avar. Well, yesh achreim tzores. True, there was a gula, there was a yeshua, but then there was another tzor. So it's like a shira. True, the woman had a baby, but she has a lot of pain. She's in a lot of pain. So Tosfos has a 2 girsas. When you say lefichach anachnu chayavim lahados lahalel, we're obligated to recite halal because b'chol dor v'dor chayavim liyusatz mikiyolasam in Mitzrayim. You have to praise HaKadosh Baruch, you have to say halal. So you say at the end, so should you say v'nomer lefanim shir chadosh, or should we say v'nomer lefanim shir chadosha? So Tosfos and the Rishonim say It should really be either one girsa or the other. If you want to say Shir Chadosh, then you should say V'nama lefanav, we will say Lasi Lavoi. Lasi Lavoi, we will say Shir Chadosh. V'nomar Loshin Osit. If you want to say Shir Chadoshah, you shouldn't say V'nomar, and we will say in the future, in the distant future. You say V'nema lefanav. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Lahodos lalel fi lemisha asalav sendu lanus kol anisim hotziyanim mitzrayim vigyanu hotziyanim mitzrayim. How do you say? Hotziyanim yavdus lecheres miyoga nesimcha. And then you should say v'nem alafanam. At that time it was recited Shira Chadosha. Yeah, so we have an andragonist. We have a combination that doesn't read straight. Like neither suggestion in Tosfos. We say v'noim alafanam loshen asid. Then you say Shir Chadosha. If he's saying V'nomar, shouldn't you say Shir Chadosh? And if you want to say the Nusach Shir Chadosha, so shouldn't you say V'ne'emar? Because V'ne'emar sounds like in the future, in the distant future, we will say a Shir Chadosh, and distant future is going to be a Shir Chadosh. Not going to be a Shir Chadosh. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, they say, based on the Tosfos, and either you should say this or that. And the way we say, they don't like it. So Avavel Soloveitchik is quoted as having explained that it's the girsa that we have, the nusach that we have, is perfectly okay. The noim alafano does mean lasi lava, we will say. If it's referring to lasi lava, then it should have ended off shir chadosh. The noim alafano of lasi lava will say shir chadosh. And the girsa is not v'nemar. It means b'chol dar v'dar chai v'adam le'vesatzki yotzim in tzrayim l'ficha nachla hayuavim l'halel. So therefore, v'noim al now, not in the distant future, we will now recite shir chadosha. Now it's not yet Lasi Lavoi. We have the feeling as if he just left Mitzrayim tonight. But we're not yet holding by the Gulu Hasida. So therefore, v'noim alafon of right now, we will now recite Shir Chadosha. So we say the beginning of the Hallel. Yeah, why it's strange? Why do you divide the Hallel in half? You say half the Hallel before and half the Hallel after the meal. So the Balamor writes that really the main part of the Hallel is really the Hallel that's recited after the meal. And he quotes an expression from the Gemara in the end of Maseches Tainus, where the Mishnah says, if the Bezna was goes a Tainus because of Atziras Gishamim, and then in the afternoon, then in the morning, let's say, then so the Mishnah says, then it rains, in the middle of the day it rains. So if it rains before Chatzos, they don't have to fast the remainder of the day. If it rains after Chatzos, then they do have to fast the remainder of the day. So the Mishnah says, there were goys at Tainus and everybody started to fast and it started raining in the morning. So the Mishnah says, everybody should go say Hallel and Shul. Everybody, what does it say? Everybody should go home and eat a meal and then they should all gather together and say Hallel and Shul. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, why should they go home and eat and then say Hallel? Hallel is not going to take 3 hours. How's it going to take? 10, 15 minutes with a nice niggin. So someone's going to faint in the 15 minutes. Why don't you tell everyone, first say Hallel and Shul, gather together, say Hallel, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he changed the weather and he caused that it should rain. It wasn't raining for the longest time, caused that it should rain when they need the rain on Tzivos Gshomim. So why don't you say first the Hallel, then go home and eat. So the Gemara answers in the end of Tainus, no. Ein Omim Hallel Elal Keres Maleim and Nefesh Saveh. It only makes sense to recite Hallel after you eat the meal. So first tell everybody go home and eat a delicious meal, and then they'll be in a happy mood to recite Hallel properly. So Tosfos says over there, what do you mean, Ein Omim Hallel Keres Maleim and Nefesh Saveh? We don't do that. We say Hallel every Rosh Chodesh in the morning after Shacharis. We say Hallel on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, and Chanukah. We say Hallel, we didn't have breakfast yet. We say Hallel before we have Keres Maleim and Nefesh Saveh. Why does the Gemara say, Ein Omim Hallel Keres Maleim and Nefesh Saveh? So Tosfos is, there's something missing in the Tosfos, a tiny little Tosfos in Tainus. The Tosfos Yontov comments on the Tosfos. He explains what they're talking about. The Hallel that you say on Rosh Chodesh in the morning and the Hallel that you say on Yontov in the morning is not a Hallel B'Shas HaNes. That's a Hallel, maybe on Chanukah, a Hallel Zechel HaNes, or Hallel on Yontov. Pesach Shavuos Sukkos as an expression of Simchas Yontov. But it's not a Hallel B'Shas HaNes. So there is no such requirement of Keres Maleim and Nefesh Saveh. But if there were Bezna, it was Gozer Tainus because of Atziris Gishomim, and then in the morning it starts to rain, If it rains in the afternoon, after chatzos, then the Mishnah says the mechuyev to be mashlim the whole day. They should fast till the end of the day. If it rains in the morning before chatzos, then they don't have to be mashlim. So it says everyone goes home and they eat, and then they gather together and they say halal. So the Gemara asks, why don't they say halal first? And the Gemara says, no, this is a halal b'shas ha-yeshua. Halal b'shas ha-yeshua, you should recite over a full stomach when you're in a very relaxed mood, when he ate food, and he has a keres malev and nefesh saved. So that makes sense that one should recite halal. So that's what the Balamoy writes, that this halal on Pesach night is like a halal b'shas ha-yeshua. It's a halal b'shas ha-yeshua. We consider it as if the Yeshua just occurred, as if the Geula just occurred tonight. So therefore, the Iker halal is really the halal that's recited after the meal. So what do we say? Why do you say anything for the meal? So you want to be kaver the Suda as a Suda's Hoidoya. The Mishnah says that Pesach is ton halal b'shash chitosoy u b'shash achilosoy. You have to recite halal when each one of the three shifts in the Beis HaMikdash, they divided everybody into the three shifts for the purpose of Hakrobas Korban Pesach. So they would recite halal. What do you mean? Who would recite halal? There's a question, the Levim or all of Klal Yisrael? The Rishonim discuss only the Levim of all of Klal Yisrael would recite halal. So they would recite halal at the time of Shechitas HaPesach. He's supposed to do Shechitas HaPesach in a state of Simcha, in a fantastic state of Simcha. So they used to recite Halal B'Shas Shechitas HaPesach. And then in addition to the Halal B'Shas Shechitas HaPesach, that was the three Chaburis, each one of the Pesach Nishcha B'Sholosh Kitais, the three groups of people. So in addition to that, the Mishnah says also that Pesach is Ton Halal B'Achilosai. While you're eating it. While you're eating it, you can choke. The Gemara says you're not allowed to talk while you eat it. So it means you should recite a little bit of halal before the meal, a little bit of halal after the meal, to be kaver the Suda as a Suda's Hoidoya. There is an institution of Korban Toida. Korban Toida is a Shlomim, Zevach Shalmei Toda. It's a subcategory of Shlomim. And a Shlomim is only Nechel Shnei Yom V'Laylo Echel. And a Toida is only Nechel Yom V'Laylo. Why is that? Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants you should have twice as many people eating. They have to eat it. They have to eat it to make sure that it doesn't turn into nisus. You're going to have to invite twice as many people to eat it. Why are you interested in inviting twice as many people? Because you want to give you want to express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you the Yeshua. So the more correct practice should be the halu b'roivam of Moshe's kainim yahaluluhu. I forgot the whole pasuk already. You have to express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of a big tzibur. So that's why when you bring a korban toida, it's a sudas hoidoya, you have to invite twice as many people to make sure that they eat it up, yom v'layla al-chatzos, shouldn't leave it over as noisem. So there is an institution of a sudas hoidoya. The Netziv in his commentary on Chumash says, based on the parsha of korban toida, we have today also, there's no korban toida, but people, if a baby was sick, someone had a serious surgery, and then he recovered. So he make a Suda Saidoya. And some have the practice every year in commemoration on the anniversary of the Yeshua. So they also make a Suda Saidoya. So on Pesach Nabi, we want to be kaver the Sudas Halayla as a Suda Saidoya. So that's why the Iker Halal is a Halal after the meal. This is a Halal B'Shas HaYeshua. So you have to have the Halal Keres Melem and Efesh Sveya. But you want to recite at least a little Ashu of the Halal before the meal. So the whole meal, the sandwich named between the beginning of the halal and the gemar of the halal. So how much of the halal do you have to say before you start the meal? So Bishamai said one perek and shayin. Halo avde Hashem, halo Hashem Hashem. You say the first chapter. And we paskan like Beis Hillel, that since you're talking about halal on Pesach, about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so it makes sense that on Pesach, you shouldn't only say the first chapter in Tehillim before you should say the second perek. That's clearly about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We should say that's our practice, like this hill. We say the two chapters before, and then we recite the rest of the halal after the meal, and that's really the more important part. The ikar of the halal is the halal after the meal.
Is that part of the secret Yetzias Mitzrayim to say the halal?
In a certain sense, it is. We have to express our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim. So included is, you have to have HaKadosh HaTayv, to say how. That's what Rami Yavarovi is all about, also, to express HaKadosh HaTayv for everything, for the Yetzias Mitzrayim, for all of Jewish history.
Maybe that's why it's before the meal.
What's before the meal?
The Hallel. Want to say this part
of the Ikar of the Hal really is after. The Ikar Hal main part is after. That's what the Balamar quoted the Gemara in Tainus. And I'm Hal al Keres Malaya, the Nefesh Seveya, Hal al Bishas HaYeshua should follow eating. It shouldn't be recited before. When you say Hal al Pesel Shua Sukkos and Chanukah in the morning, Rosh Chodesh in the morning, so that's not Hal al Bishas HaYeshua. That's a Hal al Simchas Yontov. Halal Zechel and Nesan Chanukah, but if it's Halal B'Shas HaYeshua, so that's a different kind of Halal. That should be Keres Malei Menefesh Sveya. You should be in a very happy mood. You should be full when you recite that Halal.
Okay.
Yeah.
According to the Ramban and the Ha'ik, should also on Yontif you should be Soveya because it's based on Yontif.
One should be Soveya? What do you mean Soveya?
If the Halal is for Simchas Yontif, so maybe on Yontif 2, one should say it on the Keres Malaya.
One should say what?
Halal also on the Keres Malaya, and Yontif also.
On Yontif?
If it's because of Simchas Yontif.
No, but we say it after Shachris. We didn't. The Lubavitch eat before Shachris all the time, but we don't eat before Shachris.
So why would that be according to the Ramban and the Ha'ik?
It's only if it's B'Shas HaYeshua. Halal B'Shas HaYeshua has to be Keres Malei and Nefesh Seveya, because we're all excited about now. But if it's Simchas Yontov, it's a different serene Simcha. It's a different kind of a Simcha. It's not a hilarious Simcha. We have a Yeshua now. We were fasting, and then we got a Yeshua, and it started to rain. That's so exciting. You got to say Halal. But the Simchas Yontov is a different kind of Simcha. A relaxed Simcha. Right. So we follow Beishama, we follow Beisil that we say the two program before. Then we wash again. Then we say Asher Gyalon Ugal Salasenim Mitzrayim. Okay. one part of the Seder that most people don't do is the Siluk Hashulchan. The Mishnah says that after Yachatz, you have to take the Kaira away and put it somewhere else. So the child asks, what in the world is going on? He said Kiddush, and normally you wash. So here we said Kiddush, and all of a sudden you eat Karpas, and then you take away the food. You take away the Kaira that has the matzah on it. What's going on? So you're supposed to have Siluk HaShulchan before Manishtana. So the child will really ask, what's going on over here? Most people don't know how to read the instructions in the small letters. So they don't know he's supposed to do Siluk HaShulchan. So that's supposed to be right before Manishtana. So even though the Gemara says, even though we wash until this is time for the Karpos, yeah, for Dovish and Tefillah B'Mashke, you have to wash again before you eat the Lechem. And the Gemara says, why? The Gemara says, because since you had to say so much Haggad in between, we assume that there probably was a Hesach Hadas, and maybe Noga B'Mekamas HaMetun Ofim Shebegufo. That's why you have to wash again the Tilis Nedayim before you're about to have Moitzi Matzah. Okay. Then we discuss how many Kizesim of Matzah you're supposed to have. So if a person has a medical condition and he's only allowed to eat Mamash the Be'er Minam, so you just have one Kizai, we said, you eat the whole meal, say you burn the fashes, then you wash, and you say, HaMoitzi Al Achilus Matzah, eat your one Kizai, and shayt, in your bench. But if a person is healthier and he's going to eat more than one kazaisim, how many kazaisim do you have? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, you have to have five kazaisim. When you first say Moitzi Matzah, you got to have two kazaisim. One kazais for Sudas Yontif, and one kazais for Mitzvahs Matzah. This is, so the Mishnah Brura quotes that many Rishonim disagree. Sudas Yontif is the Matzah, is the Mitzvah Matzah. What do you mean, the two different mitzvahs? Sudas Yontif, like Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, is one mitzvah. And then matzah is another mitzvah. Matzah is hainu hakpet, the Sudas Yontif. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch is assuming, that these are two distinct mitzvahs. Sudas Yontif is one mitzvah, and the mitzvah matzah is an unrelated mitzvah. You have to have two kizesim. When you have Koirach, you have one Kezai Samatz and one Kezai Samar. That's the third Kezai Samatz. Then when you have Tzofun, you have the Afikoman at the end of the meal. So the Maharil, the Drushes Maharil, quotes that the Maharil said you should eat two Kezaisim, just like in of Afikoman, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, everybody used to eat two Kezaisim of the Korban Pesach. On Pesach night also, Afikoman is Echa of the Korban Pesach, so you should have two Kezaisim. So that's the question. Who says that they used to have two kezesim of matzah on Pesach night? Who says they had two kezesim of Korban Pesach? Where did all of this come from? Two kezesim. That's so the Noisa Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch quote this Maharil that you should have two kezesim of Afikoman, just like because Afikoman is Echel of Pesach, and the minig the practice used to be Bzman Abayis. That people would eat two kezaisim of the Korban Pesach. If you eat one kezaisim, you yotze. But he says the meaning was, it used to be that they ate two kezaisim. That's the shayla. Who says that? Who says the meaning was to eat two kezaisim? So you look in the Rambam. The Rambam says it. Rambam says, Ha Pesach ein anachal elo. How does it say? Elo. Tosis Girsa in Yerushalmi is eat the Korban Pesach ala sova. Eat it at the end of the meal. You're already basically full from eating the Chagigas HaBos and whatever else, the soup and the gefilte fish and the chicken. And then you eat the Korban Pesach at the end. The Pesach is Nechal al HaSova. And the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs has a different translation of that expression, al HaSova. He says instead of just eating a Kazayis, you should eat a double Kazayis, two Kazayis, which is a Kebetza. You should eat enough Kedei Lisboa Mimenu, enough that you won't choke. If you swallow it, B'vasach, you won't choke. That's the Shir Kebetzo. That is the exactly the Shir Kebetzo. So that's what the Maharil writes like that. You should have two Kezesim of Afikam, because Afikam is Zechel of Pesach, and they always used to have two Kezesim of Korban Pesach. So the Mefarshim asked, where does it say that? So the Chazanish says, the Rambam says it. Rambam says he two Kezesim. There are a lot of things in the Maharil that they thought were a misprint. They thought that the Talmud who wrote the Drushes Maharil made a mistake. And then years later, they found Shubas Agonim, a Rambam. This one is not even a hidden thing. This is in the Rambam, but they didn't have Rambams. So healthy people, if you can, you have five kezais for matzah. When you say, Amoitzi matzah, you have one kezais for matzah, one kezais for sudas yontif, and then for the korach, you have one kezais matzah. And then for the afikam, you have two kezais. If it's too difficult, you have one kezais, one kezais, one kezais. And if that's just too difficult, you're just going to make yourself sick. So you're not allowed to. You shouldn't do a mitzvah if it's going to cause one to become sick. But if it's not that bad, so you should at least have one kazayis on matzah. That one kazayis eat at the end. Eat up your whole meal and say bar nefesh, and then you have the one kazayis at the end, and that'll be aim after na hamatzah afikayman. That'll be it. Yes. How big is a kezayis? So that's why I mentioned Rabbi Schwab said the first night of Pesach he wasn't allowed to eat bread or cake or cookies all year long for many years at the end of his life. So he said the first night of Pesach he used to be machmer. Shulchan Aruch says that there's a machlekes, but the kezayis is a chatzi beitza or a shlish beitza. Is it the half of the volume of an egg or the third of the volume of an egg? So he quoted the Magen Avraham says, with respect to dinim deraisa, should be machmer. With respect to dinim derabbanan, he can be mekel. So he said, the first night of Pesach is deraisa. You have to be machmer. To have a kezayis, a volume of matzah, which is equivalent to the volume of half an egg. Not so big eggs are not so. I mean, a medium-sized egg. Now, when I was growing up, I used to see medium-sized eggs. Now they're not available. They use all those medium-sized eggs for mayonnaise and other things, and you never see them. We see either large eggs or jumbo eggs. We don't see normal size. We don't see a beitza beninus. So the Magen Avraham says, and this machlokes, what's the ratio between, what's the relationship between kezayis and kebeitza? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the two opinions, whether kezayis is chatzi beitza or shlish beitza. So the Magen Avraham said, with respect to dinim deraisa shli machmer, respect to dinim rabbanon, you can be mekel. So that's what Rabbi Schwab said. On the first night he ate matzah chatzi beitza, kezayis, that's deraisa. And the second night, the whole mitzvah is achilas matzah, only with rabbanon, so he ate shlish beitza, a third of an egg. Nunu.
The
Shnei Kezesim
is
what?
It's not deraisa.
Not deraisa, yeah, probably not. Yeah, okay. If you eat one large size shear, that's equivalent to two small shear. So you have the two kazesim. You have one light, they say, Neskat Hashem, you have to have everything doubled. So I said, to have the two kazesim, that's only a chumim with the rabbanon. Okay. So that you can be mekel. Say if you have one, the volume of one big kazayas, that's the equivalent of two small, of two normal kazayas. Yeah.
Does everything, once you do
chushish,
yeah, or is it sufficient?
What are you asking?
For kazayas, is it sufficient just to have a modern being in this egg, half of that, or doesn't the
Slach
say it has to be double that?
The Slach thinks that everything should be double, yeah.
Is everything that we need?
That Slach is got at the end of Psochim, because the Gemara tells you how big a mikveh has to be. Gemara says a mikveh has to be amalamo birum gimalamas. And then Gemara tells you by inches how much will be a revius if you measure by inches or you measure by a beitzo machzo. So the Slach says every time if he measured with his hands, everything is off kilter. So he had the impression that this katam ashiur, that in the days of the Gemara, the beitzim were bigger, and the zeisim were bigger. So we should double up all of the shiur. Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan maybe has the status of Mar Dasa here. I don't know. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan has a tshuva when they put out one of the volumes, one of the collections of the tshuvas hagayim. So he got a copy of it. So they write there a question they asked the Gaonim, why are the shiurim shel halacha in terms of kezayis, kebeitzah, kegregres? Why don't you have how many fluid ounces, how many milligrams or millimeters or whatever? Why such funny shiurim? So they say because the milligrams and the ounces and the pounds, that's going to change from generation to generation. And the kezayis, kebeitzah, that's going to stay the same, the oil and void. So the Rebbeinu Shlom gave the shiurim, that's what the Gaonim write. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave the shiurim in such units, in Kazai's Kebetza, that wherever you live, that's going to be the Shias. On the assumption that nothing changed. That's how Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan says, we follow the Tshuvas HaGadim. We can follow the Tshuvas HaGadim against the Tzlach. Yeah, what vegetables are acceptable for Morris? The Mishnah on Daf Lamentez gives you a list of all of the different vegetables. The Rosh on Daf Kuf had a suffix where they needed Kazai's for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Morar. And Achrayim ask, it's against it. What do you mean? He has a suffix. Except Beferish Mishnah, Daf Lamed Tes, Kulam Mitzvah from the Kazai. So how come the Rosh is Mesupik? So we said over that in the Haggadah Birchas Hashir, by one of the later Goinim, he has this suggestion that Rav Soloveitchik said that maybe the pshat is. The Rosh never had a suffix on Mora Deraisa. Mora Deraisa, even though the verb Achila never appears as Amatzah Tzmaram Yochluhu, you should eat the Korban Pesach, goes back on the Korban Pesach, Loshen Zocha, Yochluhu, in conjunction with Matzah Mora. It never says a verb Achila on the Mora, but still, the Tanaim understood, you need a Kazayas. It's a mitzvah Achila, so of course you need a Kazayas. The Rosh's suffix only was, what's the din of Mora Bizman Hazeh? Since Mora Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanan Zecher L'migdash, if it's only a mitzvah to make a Zecher, so whenever you have a mitzvah for a zecher, a bracha should not be recited. That's what the Chaykanka quotes from the Oroch. That zecher mikdash kehila, you don't say a bracha on koirach. Why? Because the oath is only a mitzvah of zecher. So zecher, there is no maisa mitzvah. There's no delineated maisa mitzvah. No specific maisa mitzvah. That was the Rosh's suffix. Anyway, but the Rosh comes to the conclusion that you do need a kazayis. Need a kazayis of mara when you eat mara, then Shagazari said, according to the Rosh, no need for kazayis mara for koirach, because you don't say a bracha then. We assume not like that Shagazari, even though the Shari Tshuva quotes that Shari Surin, next to the Beheta, quotes that Shagazari, eh? That according to the Rosh, you only need a kazayis for the mara, you don't need a kazayis of mara for the koirach. So we don't follow that Shagazari's interpretation in the Rosh. We assume that the Rosh was explaining why Bizman Hazeh you do need a kazayis. Even by the Kerach, you also need a kazayis. Yeah, which vegetables are acceptable? You need a kazayis. Which vegetables are acceptable? So the Mishnah gives you a list of various vegetables. Many assume that the third one on the list, tamcha, is charein, horseradish. The Pashta says that it's certainly not correct because the Gemara says all of the vegetables in the Mishnah are all leafy leafy vegetables. Horseradish is a root in the ground. That's what the Rishonim ask already. Not the Rishonim, the early Achronim ask. How can anybody think that it's horseradish? Horseradish is not a vegetable, it's a root. And you're not Yotze if you eat the root of the morer. So there was a young fellow who learned here in Yeshiva years ago. I think he was in my class the first year I taught in Yeshiva. And now he's a professor in Ben Gurion University. So when he was a student here in the Yeshiva, there used to be a magazine, a journal that was called Gesher, to make a bridge between science and halacha. So everyone used to write essays about bridging Torah Mada. There's a song downstairs about Torah Mada. So this fellow wrote a whole essay about when did it start, that when did the practice begin that they started to use horseradish. So he quotes from Achronim, when the Jews moved so far north, near the North Pole, that the romaine lettuce was not available, and the other five vegetables were not available, so they had to use something else instead of one of the five vegetables. Not that they thought that that's tamcha. They knew that it wasn't tamcha. It's not one of the vegetables. But the Gemara says if he... there's one Tana says that if he can't get any of these vegetables that are mentioned in the Mishnah, the five vegetables, they take another vegetable that has a bitter taste to it. So that's when they started using horseradish. But now that romaine lettuce is available, romaine lettuce is the first one on the list. Romaine lettuce is chazeres. Chazeres, it says a lettuce. The Rishonim said that that's a lettuce. That's preferable. So now, every year, they say more and more. This essay that he wrote originally was in English. It was printed in Gesher. And then around 15 years ago, it was translated into Hebrew. So more and more people in Bnei Brak every year are stopping to eat horseradish and they're eating romaine lettuce. Horseradish really is not bitter. It's sharp. It's a different sensation. Two different tastes. Sharp is one thing, and bitter is a different thing. Horseradish is not bitter. The herbs, the mora is supposed to be a bitter herb. How is the romaine lettuce bitter? So Yishami asks, how is that the first one on the list? It's not bitter. Yishami says, no, if you would leave it in the ground longer, would it become bitter? So the Chazon Ish understood Pshat and Yishami, if you left it in the ground longer and it became bitter, then it's acceptable for mora. If you didn't leave it in the ground and it tastes delicious, we have romaine lettuce all year long. You have a salad. People, they taste it doesn't taste bitter. So the Chazon Ish held that you're not Yotze. Minhag HaOlam was not like the Chazon Ish. They assumed that since if you would have left it in the ground longer, it would have turned bitter. So even if you didn't leave it in the ground, that is the vegetable that's labeled as mara. And you can be Yotze the mitzvah with that vegetable, even though it does not have a bitter flavor. Anyway, so that's what we do. We have matzah, then we have mara. Then we have Korach, and we say Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel. The Mishnah Berurah is all upset in the Bi'ur Halacha. Why do you say Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel? The Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't be mapsik, you shouldn't talk in between reciting the Brach HaLachilas Matzah and the eating of the Korach, because maybe the Korach, the Matzah with the Mor together, is the more correct way to fulfill these two different mitzvahs of Matzah and Mor. So because of the suffix, Mechaba says you shouldn't talk. In between the bracha, al-achilas mar, and the eating of the kerach, you shouldn't talk. So we always talk. Mishnah Berurah Tanya, we always talk. We say, Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel, Keino Aseh Hillel. Why do you say this? So there's room to argue with the Mechaba why he says you shouldn't talk, but the Mishnah Berurah is not happy. Why people say it? He thinks that Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel was printed in small letters as an explanation of what's going on. It's not supposed to have nekudas that that's what you're supposed to say. It should be in small letters, like instructions. What this is all about. This is a Zeichel HaMikdash Kehillel. You don't have to proclaim it as such. Somehow Machmer, because of this Mishnah Berurah's issue, how come he says Zeichel HaMikdash Kehillel? Isn't it a hefsek? The Mechaber says it shouldn't be mafsek. The Somehow Machmer, they'll recite Zeichel HaMikdash Kehillel after they finished eating the Korach already. So they ate the Korach B'li Hafsokeh. And then I recite the Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel. This was the Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel. Yeah, after the Birchas HaMazon is over, so you have a third cup of wine, Koshel Birchas HaMazon. Then we say, Shvech HaMaz Chalagam HaShaloh Yedoucho. These are Psukim in Tehillim. Well, how does that fit in over here? Because on Pesach night, we are celebrating in anticipation of the Gula Hasidah. The Gula Hasidah is going to take place when all the nations of the world will recognize Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have a couple of nations who are not prepared to recognize. So we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not fair because of these several countries all over the world scattered about all over the place. Everybody has to suffer. Give us a break. Wipe them out, and it'll be unanimous. All the nations of the world will recognize Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and well, let's have a gula already. It's not fair that these yichidim, these minority groups, are holding back the gula. So that's why we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shvoch HaMos Chalagam, Mishalo Yidohu.
Okay. The minorities? The whole UN?
Okay, the whole world. Okay. Okay, so we ask our Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. The whole world has to suffer because of a couple of lunatics. Yeah, the whole world. Now the whole world suffers because the whole world doesn't want to recognize Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
You believe in God.
What?
A lot of most people.
Yeah, but they worship Bosa Ho'ish. And look how it is our God of Mizah. We're so used to it by yesterday. It's a hair raising. They're worshiping a human being, worshiping Bosa Ho'ish, and they don't see what a pella it is. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Then we finish the main part of the halal. Is the halal after the meal? That's how the Balamor quoted that Gemara in the end of Tainus. And then we say the Birchas Hashir. Now we spoke yesterday about the Birchas Hashir. There is a Gemara in Psochem Adaf Lamed Ches that there is a machlokes from Meir Reb Yehuda where the Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Gavoy, Mamon Bailam. So the main nafkemina. So one nafkemina is, can you be Mekadosh and Isha? If I have Ma'aser Sheni, I give it to the girl. Say, I'm Kodesh Sli. So if it's Mamon Bailam, I can be Machnet there. If it's Mamon Gavoy, you can't be Machnet to the girl. She won't be Mekadosh. So one nafkemina is where the Matzah Shel Ma'aser Sheni is acceptable for the mitzvah. Pesach Leil HaSeir Amin Yerushalayim. And there's a mitzvah to eat. We can't eat Ma'aser Sheni b'zman hazeh, because it's known as Be'ech Banui. But b'zman shebeis HaMikdash HaYikayim, and they're eating Ma'aser Sheni, can one fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with matzah shel Ma'aser Sheni? Mar says it depends. So since we pass the matzah, Ma'aser Sheni, Mamu Gavoya, so you're not Yoytze. So the Gemara says, since when they need Shalachem? Bishleim by Dalad Minim, it says, Olakach Malachem Shalachem. So if Ma'aser Sheni Mamu Gavoya, so the Esrig is not Shalachem. But by matzah, who says that there's a requirement shalachem? So Gemara explains, yeah, there is a makor to require shalachem. So that's a machlokes harishonim. What does that mean? So the Rosh understands the Gemara kipshuto. You really need shalachem. The Rambam understands doesn't mean that. The Rambam understands you don't really need shalachem. If it's mama gavoya, then it's hegdish. So you can't be yotze matzah with a matzah shal hegdish. That's what it means. But there's really no need that it should be shalachem. So that's a shalom. When people come, guests come to eat in someone else's seder, is there a problem of shalachem on the matzah? So the Taz writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't see that there's any problem because when you put the matzah in front of the guests to eat, it's self-understood. Then when they pick up the matzah, they're kind of, so it becomes shalachem. And when you give them chicken, when you give them kugel, when you give them soup, so they're kind of everything. Another point that when you look at Ebenezer, it's not so poshut. It's in Shulchan Aruch, Ebenezer, Chizkidushin, you're talking about a situation where a single boy and a girl are eating by me, and the boy wants to propose to the girl. He wants to be Mekadosh. So he takes his chicken on his plate and he gives it to the girl and says, I ran Mekadosh, just leave with this chicken. So there's a machlaikas there, and then I said, Caleb, is it assumed that I was makna the chicken to all the guests, or that I gave the guest permission to eat my chicken? I was not makna to him. So if I was not makna, he can't be makna to the girl. He can't say, I ran Mekadosh, just leave. So not everybody agrees with that Taz. The Taz says, when you have guests eating by you, it's self-understood that you makna the food to them. Many achrenim hold an evidence. It's understood that you gave them permission to eat the food, but not that you makna the food. So that's why some will have the practice that when they start the Seder, when they're about to eat the matzah, they'll say to the guests, everyone should have in mind to be kind of the matzah that they're going to use for the purpose of the mitzvah matzah. So it should be shalachem. So you satisfy the Rosh Hashita as well. Okay. I'm happy that the Taz is consistent, but not everybody agrees with the Taz. Okay. Yes.
Reuben, what about if a child's by their parents, they want the children to be Yosef?
Right. They want the children to be Yosef. The father may not even realize that there's a Rosh who says that you need Shalachem. You probably never heard of this Rosh. Probably never heard of the Gemara. So it's not a bad idea that you should announce. Everyone should have in mind to be kind of the matzah that they're going to be activated. And hadlakas haneris on erev on yontif. Many have the practice. Well, the first night this year is Shabbos. Of course, everyone's going to light candles before. But on a normal yontif, that's chaliyas bechol. So many of the women have the practice. Wait till the husband comes home from shul, and then they light the candles on the table. So many achrenim held that's not proper. More correct is that just like on Shabbos, you light in advance. You should be mekabel Shabbos in advance. On yontif also, there's a mitzvah of kibud and a mitzvah of voning in the middle. And Goyen says that the Rambam seems to hadlakas haneris is both kibud and oinig. And what's kibud but oinig? So the Rambam says. So the Vilna Gaon says, kibud means any hachonis that are done in advance of Shabbos and Yontif. Oinig is the pleasure that you would derive on Yontif. So the hadlokas haneris should take place on Erev Yontif because mitam kibud. And then the fact that the house is lit up and you can see what you're doing, that's the oinig. But more correct is to be madlokas haneris mibod yom. You shouldn't wait till the husband comes home. Anyway, this time it's not shaykh. The first night Yontif is Shabbos. Of course you have to light before. Second night is the Shabbos, so you can't light before. You have to wait till Tisak Kacham to light the second night. So the first 2 days, it's irrelevant.
And last day.
Last day, it's relevant, yes. Many many women have the practice that they recite Shachyonu when they're Madlek as Haneris. Rabbi Kivegi refers you to the Shuvas Rabbi Yankev Emden, who is opposed to this. He says, really, the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Mem, Shachyonu, I'm Rafi LeBashuk. Shachyonu can be recited while you're walking around in the street also. That's what we do on Leil Yom Kippur. After Kol Nidre, the chazan gets up and he says, Shachyonu, everybody says together. You don't say on a cup of wine. Shachyonu, separate from everything else. But the Gemara says, if you will recite the Shachyonu over a cup of wine at the end of the Kiddush, that will enhance the chashivas of the bracha. It'll be elevated to the level of a bracha lakos. So why should the women cheat themselves? Why should the women say Shachyonu, the Yontif, Bishas, Hadlakas, Haneris? Then wait till the husband says Kiddush. And then the Shachyonu will be enhanced. It'll be a bracha lakos. So it's not really right. A lot of the women, they just don't want to give up their minig from their mothers.
They
don't want to give up on the Shachyonu. They're going to be yotze the Shachyonu. The husband is going to say they're going to be yotze. What's better if she says? Some couples, they alternate. 1 week the husband says Kiddush, next week the wife says Kiddush. What's wrong if the husband says in yotze v'shemei kain? It's only b'diyevet. Shmekan is good lachatchila. There's nothing improper, nothing weaker with it. Shmekan is perfect.
How does the bracha aliyah enhance the shekhan?
It becomes a bracha lakos. It becomes a toast to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Not just a bracha, it becomes a toast. L'chaim. Shachyani, k'man ha'zman hazeh. Toast to the queen. Toast to the prime minister. Toast to Medina Israel. Yeah. You make a toast. That's the Gemara says. So more correct is you really shouldn't say Shachyani. And that's a big deal in recent Svarim. If the woman says Shachyonu when she benched licht and the husband says Kiddush, then she says Amen after the Shachyonu. So does that constitute a hefsek and now she's not allowed to drink the wine? Because he said Bar Piagof and she said Amen, now she said an unnecessary Amen after the Shachyonu. Or should I say Nishgefel? So that's a whole machlokes.
What's the hefsek?
If the woman already said Shachyonu when she benched licht, then the husband says Shachyonu again when he says Kiddush, so she doesn't need that Shachyonu. Then she says Amen after Shachyonu. So that's a hefsek in between the husband's bar piagofen and her drinking of the wine. If she needs the Shachyonu, so kach tikno chachamim, we say, Yan Kiddush Ner Adol is mam. If she already says Shachyonu when she benches licht. So what she's saying on the other Amen after this Shachyonu. So somehow, nishgefeilach, the husband is saying Shachyonu is proper, and she's saying Amen, everything is fine. And others disagree. No, she says Amen, it's a hefsek in between the bar piagofen and the drink. On Friday night, Nerev Shabbos, the minig is that the women light the candles first and then they say the bracha afterwards, because we are machmir for the Bahag and we took it to an extreme. When you say the bracha, it's already Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos. You're going to say L'hadik Nerev Shal Shabbos, then you're stuck. You can't light the candles. You're anyway Kabbalah Shabbos. So we light the candles first and then we say the bracha after, and then you should put down the match. You shouldn't blow it out. After you say the bracha, it's already Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos. Shouldn't do any malachas. So the Prisha is the commentary, the Risha Prisha, the commentary printed on the bottom of the page of the tour. So the Hakdomet to the Prisha was written by the son of the author. So he writes about his father, he writes about his mother. His mother was a big Milumedes, and his mother, Agapaskind, that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. That on Yom Tov you are allowed to light candles in the house. If it's dark, you're allowed to light candles. So on Yom Tov there's no good reason why you shouldn't say the bracha Oivel Asiyos. On Shabbos we came up with this churm. If you say the bracha L'Hadig Nesha Shabbos first, then you won't be allowed to light the candles because of Lika Bolas Tasev Shabbos. But on Yom Tov there's no reason why you shouldn't say the bracha first and then light the candles. So the Magen Avraham quotes this from Mrs. Prisha, from the mother of the son of the Prisha, and he makes fun and he says women should stick to stitching. Let her make her yarmulkes, let her do the laundry, let her cook the food. She shouldn't give her opinion on halacha. And most of the poskim say that she's right. They accept the Prisha's, Mrs. Prisha's idea. They don't agree with the Magen Avraham. Yeah. There's a din in white cotton that whenever one is observing Avelus, one is in the middle of Shiva, so Yantav comes and cancels Shiva. One's in the middle of Shloshim, Yantav comes and then cancels Shloshim. Yantav does not cancel Yid Beis Chodesh. But if one is in the middle of Shiva or Shloshim, he cancels whatever you're up to. So on Erev Pesach after Chatzais, the Ramah paskins like an Or Zarua, that Erev Pesach after Chatzais is another Yantav. This, what we call Pesach in Chumash is really called Chag HaMatzos. Erev Pesach after Chatzos is called Chag HaPesach, when they brought the Korban Pesach. And it's listed off with all the Yom, Elam Yad Hashem, in Parshas Emor. So it says, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Pesach is called Chag HaMatzos, and Erev Pesach after Chatzos is called Chag HaPesach. And it's listed off by the all the other Yom Tovim. So that's what the Ozarua understood. It's just like all the Yom Tovim have a Chiyav Simcha and a Derech HaVelus, the same thing should be Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So that's the even though Tosfos in Zvochim, Beferish disagrees. Tosfos says that one does observe Avel as Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So the yes, Kakam there are more paskan against the Tosfos. So the Achronim said that Halacha Kedavra Mekol Ba'Ovel. Whenever there's a Machlekes and Hilchas Avel, you always go to Kul. So that's what the minig is. If one is in Avel, so the Avel should be terminated before Chatzai. You don't wait till Yontif and then get up from the Shiva. Before Yontif enters, before Chatzai, so you stop observing the Shiva.
What if we say the other way, the Hakel, meaning if somebody would bury on this?
So every Erev Pesach, there's always someone who's buried after Chatzai. So if you say you don't observe Avelus now, then you have to observe the whole 7 days of Avelus after Yontif is over. But if you say you do observe Avelus now, so it'll be 1, 2, 3, it'll be a quickie. You'll observe Avelus Shachas, and then Yontav will cancel the rest of the Shiva. So the meaning is that we say Halacha Kedivamekal Ba'avol means whichever direction is easier for us.
That's right.
Huh?
That's a disaster.
That's a question. Is that really what it means? Is that really what it means? But that's the meaning. Every Erev Pesach, there's always a funeral. Someone always gets buried Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And the minig always is that they take off the shoes, they observe Avelus a little bit, then Yontav cancels. If someone is buried on Chol HaMoed, Kavis Mesa Berego, you don't observe Avelus. You have to wait to observe the whole Shiva after Yontav is over. The last day of Yontav counts as the first day of Shiva. We learned the Gemara. Last day of Yontav counts the first day of Shiva. You know you don't observe anything. And then you observe another 6 days. And then the morning of the 6 days, say Mikzan Kekul. So here, that's the meaning. It's a little questionable. It's surprising that it works. Yeah, on Pesach, Mishnah says that we change the nusach in the Shemoneh Esrei. Instead of saying Masha Rochem Arad Hageshem, we say Marid Atol, or you say nothing. Atol, the Gemara says, is optional. If you want to, you may mention. If you don't want to, you don't have to mention. Masha Rochem Arad Hageshem is a chayva. Marid Atol is a reshus. So that's called maskirin, gvuras kishalim. Then there's she'elah, when you actually need the rain, then you say, v'sein talamatam. When you bench geshem on Shmini Atzeres, you say, just say the nusach in the Shmones, mashroch mer geshem, but you don't ask for the rain till later, either till Zayin Cheshvin or till December 4th, because you don't actually need the rain till later. So why do you mention Mashavach Maragashim? Because this is the season of the year when it's going to rain. So we change the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to Ori Hashem. We change the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu depending on how it appears to us. So if you live in the Mediterranean area, there's a dry season from Pesach till Sukkot. It absolutely doesn't rain at all. So you don't say Mashav Baruch. The way you describe a Kodesh Baruch Hu has to correspond to what it appears. Yeah, so why all over the world, why do they bench Geshem? The same Talmud, the Lebracha, depends what country you live in. Whenever you need the rain, that's why you say the same Talmud. What about Mashav Ruach? So the Chazon Ish writes, he doesn't agree with the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gemara in the first Perek in Tainus. There are times when you say Mashav Ruach, and you don't say the same Talmud. From Shmini Atzeres till Zayin Cheshem, Shmini Atzeres till December 4th. You say Mashav Ruach, you don't say same Talmud. So if you're saying Saint Talamata Kalvachaim, you have to say Masha Baruch. That's how the Gemara says. So the Mishnah Berurah says that even in Europe, if there's a community where they say the Saint Talamata all year long because they need rain all year long, then they're for sure they should say Masha Baruch all year long. And the Chazon Ish thing said it's not correct. Masha Baruch is the official description of Ta'ori Hashem depending on Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the dry season, yeah, from Pesach till Sukkot. Around the Mediterranean is the dry season, so you describe a Kodesh Boko as Marid Atol. You don't describe it as Mashav Ruach. But still, if you live in a country where they need rain, then you should say the same Talamata. Yeah, so that's the Shaila. We still, the Rosh lived in Spain, B'Sof Yomav. First he lived in Germany, then he ran away to Spain. And he writes, he doesn't understand. It's not near the Mediterranean, and they need rain all year long. They don't just need rain between Sukkot and Pesach. They need rain. Like in America, there is no dry season. There's no day in the calendar that it doesn't rain. Historically, they have all the records. It rains every day in the year. There isn't. So what do we say? In the summertime, you don't say the same Talmud. That doesn't really make any sense. So that was the Rosh argued. The Tur quotes, my father, the Rosh argued, and he gave in. He said he talked himself blue and they didn't agree with him. So Farfam. So we don't say the same Talmud. Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his grandfather, was very bothered by this. His practice was that even though he didn't say B'Sein Talamata in Baruch Aleinu, in the summertime, after you bench Geshem, after you bench Tal on Pesach, but he used to say it in Shmak Aleinu. Because if you forgot to say B'Sein Talamata, then you say in Shmak Aleinu. In Eastern Europe, where he lived, in Western Europe, all over the world, they need rain all the time. We need rain all the time. It's a pet. Why we don't say B'Sein Talamata all year long. The Gemara says this, to change the description of Elokus, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Mechal Kachaim, he's Masha Baruch, you need Rishus of the Tzibur. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to change the description of Elokus on his own. Instead of saying Masha Baruch, you're going to say Marid Atol. So it looks like Avodah Zarah a little bit. You're describing a different God. So you have to have the Rishus of the Tzibur. So that's why, let's say a person isn't feeling well, so he doesn't go to shul on Pesach. He's going to daven, he's going to wake up early, going to daven and go back to sleep all day. You shouldn't switch to Marid Atol when he davens Musaf at 7 o'clock in the morning. You have to wait till the Tzibur changes the Nusach. You have to have Rishus from the Tzibur. But the Saint Talamata, most of the Bosom hold it's not so. The Saint Talamata, you're asking for rain. So if you need rain, you have a right to ask for rain. You don't need Rishus of the Tzibur. But to change to Ori Hashem, that's a ticklish issue. That's a little bit looks like Avodah Zarah. If you're describing a different Elokus, so that you have to have Rishus of the Tzibur. The minig in America, the minig by the Ashkenazim, is that they only duchen on Yontif, so everybody violates some of the laws of duchen. So Rav Mordechai published a whole big chart. The main thing is a lot of the Kohanim, they don't pick up the hands. They hold the hands like this. It has to be at least shoulder height or higher. It's Mamash Abrachal about Tala. He's right. So he did a big mitzvah to distribute these charts, and everyone should try to be more of the Kohanim. I see in Eretz Yisrael, whenever I go to visit Eretz Yisrael, say, half of the Kohanim don't pick up the hands properly. It's not right. Then it's very common practice in all Ashkenazi shuls. They're so nervous about looking at the Kohanim's hands that they turn around. Everybody turns around. That's Keneged Adin. You have to be Ponim, Keneged Ponim. You have to be facing the Kohanim. If you're not facing the Kohanim, you're not considered Bechlal Bracha. The Am Shebasar is the people who can't come to shul, the farmers who live far away. So the Gemara says they're included in the Bracha, even though they're not facing Ponim, Keneged Ponim. But the people who are in shul are only included in the Bracha if they face Ponim, Keneged Ponim. Then in the days of the Gemara, the common practice was, the Gemara in Sota has an El in the Gemara, common practice was that the Tzibut would recite Psukim simultaneously with the Kohanim reciting Yirach Hashem v'Yishmerechom. And the Gemara says, can they concentrate? Can they pay attention to the Kohanim's brachas if they're saying the Psukim themselves? The Gemara says, yeah, we're all geniuses and we can concentrate. So then the Torah says that there was a Yeridus Adaris, we're no longer geniuses, you can't concentrate. So he recommends you shouldn't say the Psukim. If you want to look in a machzer and be mechaven the psukim, but you shouldn't say the psukim when the Kohanim are reciting the duchening of Yirecha Hashem Yishmerecha. Okay, if they're singing and they give you a chance to say psukim, that's fine, but it may not happen like that.
So certainly a person shouldn't be davening when the Shliach Tzibur is saying the brachas. You can't concentrate on the sikh and just the word.
When the Shliach Tzibur is saying which brachas?
When he's saying...
Yirach Hashem Yishmerecha.
Chazor Hashashat.
Oh yeah, you have to pay attention to the Chazor Hashashat. That's for sure, yeah. We have a mitzvah sphere, so Omer. The Gemara says there's a contradiction between the two psukim and Parshas Amor and Parshas Re'eh. In one parsha it says you should count Shiva Shavuos Tisbaloch, you should count 7 weeks. The other parsha says Tisbaruch HaMishim Yom, you should count the days. So which is it? Do you count the days? Do you count the weeks? The Gemara says mitzvah the Mimni Yomei, mitzvah the Mimni Shavuot. It's a mitzvah to count the days, a mitzvah to count the weeks. We all know. The Gemara Chagig explains, it's mitzvah to count the days, so we establish Shavuos as a holiday of one day for Issur Melacha and for the purposes of Korban Musaf. Mitzvah to count the weeks, to establish Shavuos as a yantav of a whole week, with respect to what is Shavuos a yantav of a whole week, that there's Tashlumi called Shiva. If you didn't bring the Oil of Sriya Shama Chagig on the first day of Shavuos, you can bring it the next 6 days. That's the Gemara's Chiddush in Chagiga, that the purpose of Sfira Seimer is to become Shavuos, and since there are two parts to the Sfira, Yomim and Shavuos, so Shavuos, the holiday of Shavuos, is both a Yontav of one day and a Yontav of a whole week. Yeah, then there's room to argue the point and say that Bizban Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, so there is no Tashlumi Kol Shiva. Tashlumi Kol Shiva is only for Oila Sfira Shalom in Chagiga. So maybe today there's room to say that the Sfira Seimer is only the Reis on the Yomim. In the Shavuos, there's no mitzvah there, I say, because it's not going to accomplish anything to make Shavuos, to be Kaveh Shavuos as a whole week, because we don't have any korbanos, there's no issue of Tashlum. So that was the Girsa of Rabbeinu Yeruchim in the Gemara. The Gemara Menachos, Tav Samach Vav, says, Amei Mamani Yoimei, well, no money Shavuos. Amei Mamani counted the days, he didn't count the weeks, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So what does that mean? So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim had the Girsa. You count the days to make a yontav of a day. So today the yontav is a day, but you don't count the weeks because it's not going to be a yontav of a week. That's not the girsa that we have. Where we have the girsa in the Gemara, it's a machloikas amaroim where the sphere sign of his man is the raisa the rabban. What's the machloikas? Supposed to count sphere the yom habayachem is haymachnufa from the day that you brought the korban ha'omer. So there is no korban ha'omer mizman is there. So does that just identify which is the day? Really, you can't sphere. It started from Tev Zionism. What did he say? No, from actually bringing of the Mincha Soim. If you actually bring Mincha Soim, so then Sphere Soim is banned as only the Rabban. That's the accepted opinion. That's a Tesis Pasuk. Sphere Soim is banned as only the Rabban. And the Rambam and the Goyim hold that is not so. The Rambam never quoted that is the Rabban. They hold that Sphere Soim is banned is their Raisa. Why? So the Pashtus is that the Mechayiv of Sphere Soim is not Hakrovas Mincha Soimer, but rather Yom Tezayin, the Chumash just identifying which day it is. They say the name Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, that he had a different beer in the Rambam, in the Shita Sagoinim. Why they hold Sphere Soimer Bizman as their eyes? So what's the Machlekes in the Gemara? Not whether Hakrovas Mincha Soimer is what's Mechaiv in Sphere Soimer. He said, is that reasonable? Let's say 1 year for some accidental reason they didn't bring Mincha Soimer. The Bayi Sheni lasted for so many centuries. Let's say 1 year something came up. There was a fire drill. Something went wrong in the Beis HaMikdash. It was something wrong. And they didn't bring the Mincha Soimer. So that year Sfira Soimer is going to be the Rabbanon. Rab Chaim thought that doesn't make any sense. That's what we usually assume that's what it is. That year Sfira Soimer would be the Rabbanon. Rab Chaim thought that doesn't make any sense. He thought that the Chiyuv HaKrovas Mincha Soimer is Mechayiv in Sfira Soimer. So the Machlokes where the Sfira Soimer Mizman says the Reis HaRabban depends whether the Kiyuv Losi Lava or not. So the Rambam in the Goyim Paskan the Makam HaMikdash is Kiyuv Losi Lava. So there's a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash is the Chiyuv to be Makar Mincha Soimer Mizman HaZeh. You're not doing it? Okay, you're onus. You have no Mizbeach. They don't let us. The Arabs won't let us do it. But in principle, there's a kitchel lasilav, so there's a chiyav mincha saimer. And the other Rishonim hold like kitchel lasilav. That was the machlaikis hamarai. yeah, this is a little bit upshetl. The Gemara has sugyas about kitchel osilava. Why didn't they mitzarif this to the sugya where the kitchel osilava? That's why they quote v'shem Reb Chaim Soloveitch. There's a famous Ramban. Ramban is quoted as having said that women are mechuyev in sphere soimer because it's not a mitzvah sesei shazman grama. So makshemol ein lachom mitzvah sesei zman grama godel mizeh. How can you say sphere soimer is not zman grama? So some want to say the Ramban is a tosef. And then others say, no, the Ramban makes sense. So what is the sense? So there's a sefer Maram Chalava on Psochim. So the Maram Chalava passed away a long time ago. Maram Chalava passed away. And his son gets up from Shiva and he says, I better write down all the things I heard from my father. He said so much, if I'm not going to write it down, I'll forget everything. So we have one paragraph. Everything was lost. He must have written a lot. We have one paragraph. That is, the father said over what pshat in the Ramban was. Why women mechayiv in Sfiras HaOmer? So he says, if Tezayin Nisin is mechayiv in Sfiras HaOmer, then it's a Zman Groma. But Tezayin Nisin is mechayiv in Minchas HaOmer, and Hakrovas Minchas HaOmer in turn is mechayiv in Sfiras HaOmer, so that's not called Zman Groma. Zman is not directly mechayiv. Zman is mechayiv in the Omer, and the Hakrovas HaOmer is mechayiv in Sfiras HaOmer. Yeah, so that's basically, that's usually assumed to be the shayla where the Sfiras HaOmer b'zman is as the Reis of the Rabbanan. What's Mechayiv in Sfiras HaOmer? Hakrovas Minchas HaOmer, Atezayin Nisan. Same shayla where the women are Mechayiv or not. Could be. The Gemara says that it says in the Chumash, you count Sfiras HaOmer, Miyom HaVayachem HaSayim HaTnufa. Miyom HaVayachem sounds like you start counting Sfiras on Yom Tezayin. So the Gemara says, no, you can't svira Belel Tezayin. Why Belel Tezayin? If you wait till Yom Tezayin, you'll be lacking Tmimois. Because the svira will only include the daytime part of the day. It won't include last night. And we want that the svira should include all 24 hours of the day. So in order to fulfill Tmimois, the svira has to be Balayla. So that's a question. Once you establish that svira can be Balayla, so when you count at night, the sphere is going to be chal on the Laila and on the Yom. So now you can count either by Yom or maybe you can count now by Yom or by Laila. It's one unit of 24 hours. Even if you count the last minute of 24 hours, I think the whole unit is one unit. And my sphere was chal on the whole unit. So the Rishonim, that's what Adolva Lasalvechik suggested. But he says the Rishonim assume not. So they assume because of Tamimais, Halach Almais, you have to count by Laila. You cannot count by Yom, you have to count by Laila. Count by Yom, so it's a machlokes of Rishayim, are you Yoytze? So if you count by Yom, you can't believe Brocha. The Baha came up with this Einfall of a Chiddush, that the word Tmimus has the connotation that if you missed one day, if you didn't count day number 15, then you don't continue counting at all. So the Baalei Atai say, where did he get it from? The Gemara never said. The Gemara says Tmimus means a totally different thing. It means that you have to have the sphere of Balayla. So out of respect for the Baha, we really don't hold like the Bahag. Out of respect for the Bahag, if a person missed the day, we hold it's mukhif to continue counting. Out of respect for the Bahag, we shouldn't say a bracha. Unless there's another tzad lahakel, and then we say then that we're not being disrespectful to the Bahag. If a person is mesupik, he's not sure if he counted last night. He remembers counting, he may have counted the wrong day. He may have counted the wrong day, he may have counted the right day. He doesn't remember. So if you're going to continue to count with a bracha, it's not openly against the Bahag. So not openly, it's a nishgefel, because we really don't accept the Bahag, just out of respect. So genuk respect if you don't go openly against the opinion of the Bahag.
He felt that if he was not counting, you could leave out a day. And on 1, 3, 5, 6,
right,
7.
Right. There's no hemshich. Very good. Okay, everyone should be blessed with a good yantar. Chakosha v'sameach. After Pesach, we're going back to Ksubas, no? Daf Yud Dalet, I think. What are we up to? Daf Yud Dalet.